I then was out that evening. I actually, you know, I'm a single guy in New York City, so I had a blind date that night, which didn't go anywhere. And then I was on my way home on the subway, and I happened to start up a conversation with a very nice young woman, and ended up, she got up off the train near where I did, ended up walking her home, said goodnight. Then I walked up the street, and feeling good. You know, you don't meet a woman on the subway. That's just not something that typically happens.
That's right.
As I get to the corner of 10th Street and 5th Avenue in Greenwich Village, I feel a tug on my elbow from behind. I spin around, and there's a Tech 9 machine pistol sticking in my gut.
Oh, my God.
A
Tech 9 machine pistol. I had some young lady call during the first hour of the program, Stanley, and she was referring to the recent tragedy last week, and she suggested that what the students should have done was to have rushed the gunman at Virginia Tech. And I asked her if she'd ever been shot at, and she didn't have much to say about that. I think, no. But I presume that at that moment, with a Tech 9 in your belly or at your elbow, you decided not to rush them and cooperate.
Well, that's right. And I think the issue whether you rush somebody is very complex. Typically, you don't have the ability to do that because the Tech 9 is a real powerful weapon. Maybe some instances where, you know, you can get them from behind or something. But the problem is these guys had the drop on me, not vice versa.
How many were there?
On me in the street, there were two guys. They then pushed me into a car where there was a third guy, and he had a pistol that was in my face.
Well, were you at an ATM or were you doing banking as this occurred, or you were just walking down the street?
I was just walking down the street, feeling all good, just met somebody on the train, going home, going to have a cup of tea and read a book. I had had this really interesting book on the Vietnam War, A Bright Shining Lie. I was going to sit home and read it, you know, just feeling great. And all of a sudden, my life changed. So, you know, they grabbed me from behind. I didn't see it coming. I mean, people talk about having guns and that's going to help them. It might help people sometimes, but I got to tell you, if I'd had a gun on me, I probably would have been killed a lot quicker because they had the drop on me from behind. I couldn't have shot.
Sure. So they shove you into a car?
Right. So sitting out in the street was a brand new black car, a black Lexus, and they put me in the car, shut the door, and started driving.
At this point, what did you think had just happened to you? I mean, did you think, probably you thought your work was involved.
You know what? I was in such shock that I really didn't even have time at that moment to think about it. I was just in shock. I mean, you just can't imagine the feeling. I only think maybe the way a bear feels when it gets its claw caught in a trap.
Yeah.
You know, one minute you're walking along, you're a powerful bear. The next minute you're gone. And that's kind of what it felt like. And I basically immediately went into survival mode. My immediate instinct was to look down so that these guys wouldn't think I was looking at their faces.
Right.
To try to recognize them.
Right. So they were they didn't have anything over their faces. Their faces were fully visible.
That's right. That's right. So I purposely looked down in a way so that they wouldn't think I could remember who they were. At that point, I couldn't think about whether it was job-related. I mean, it very quickly became obvious to me that this was a straight robbery. This was them grabbing a guy on the street to try to get money.
Did they say anything initially?
Yeah, well, I can't use the words on national radio, but, you know, get in the effing car, MF-er.
Uh-huh.
You know, we'll blow your effing head off.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then once they had me in the back seat, like I said, I'm looking down. The leader, actually, was a very well-spoken guy who starts explaining to me that I need to give him my wallet, and he wants my PIN number, and that, you know, I better cooperate or his henchmen will murder me, and that they're going to take me to the bank and take out some money.
Huh. This seems like an awfully well-equipped mugging to me. I mean, they didn't really know who you were, did they?
No, they didn't. And it was only about 15 minutes into it before they asked me what I did for a living because, you know, they took me to the bank. They drove me over there, got my PIN number out. The leader of the gang goes in to get the money. And, you know, there's a $1,000 daily limit. And,
right.
And so they're trying to figure out, well, how can they get more money? And they're asking me how much money I have in my savings account. Well, I had to fess up that, you know, my life savings that I, you know, had sweated over, you know, working at a law firm before I went in the government was sitting there. And, you know, and they're like, whoa, what do you do for a living? And I couldn't lie about it because my business card was in my wallet.
Right.
So I said, well, guys, you really kind of picked up the wrong guy because I'm an assistant U.S. attorney.
Oh, my God. At this point, your mind is probably calculating your odds of getting out of this from here on are just plummeting, right?
Yeah, yes, that's right. My thought was that I was in big trouble, very big trouble.